And we're back. Hello and welcome to episode 2 of season 2 of Fade In Podcast. We've got a special guest on the show this time. I told you we'd have a guest, Katrina Bertrand?
Bertrand. You could say Bertrand, it's all good.
Something Italian or French. But anyway, hi Katrina, how are you?
I'm good, and how are you doing?
Great. How are you, Christine?
I'm very good. Everybody is feeling good on this podcast. Why not, you know?
I'm actually not feeling great. I feel very... There's a heat wave right now, and I got my vaccine yesterday, so I just feel nasty.
Oh, yeah. I told you to cut the arm off when, you know, then you don't have pain in your arm anymore.
But then the vaccine is in the arm.
I think that might have been the idea.
Oh, remove the vaccine.
That's interesting that it's so hot. How warm is it right now in Vancouver?
Right now I think it's 30, but it's supposed to in the next couple days get up again to like fucking 40, and then it'll go back to normal. But just this weekend there's supposed to just be a massive heat wave, which sucks because my house doesn't have air conditioning.
Well, here we got the problem right now that we have so many thunderstorms all the time, and it really sucks because everything gets destroyed in the house. Like, you're like, please don't, like, I need my internet. How is it for you, Katrina?
Oh, there I am. Okay, no, sorry, my internet just cut randomly. Hi, I'm good. Everything is good here. Yes, everything seems to be functioning. The weather is actually... We have a heat wave right now. So life is great. We're really enjoying air conditioning. You were saying, Savannah, that Vancouver was not doing too well?
No, Vancouver doesn't really know what air conditioning is, so everyone suffers.
Oh man, that really sucks. I'm really sorry.
Well, maybe before we talk about, you know, thunderstorms and heat waves for 30 minutes straight, maybe you, Katrina, want to introduce yourself, because we went to VFS, and you and I went to the same game stream. But, you know, before I talk, you know, for 10 minutes, I thought, you know, if you want to introduce yourself and you can say, you know, everything you want and you think is important.
Yeah, sure. So, I'm Katrina. I'm originally from Montreal, still am from Montreal. I started writing when I was maybe in sixth grade. Does that sound about right? Yeah. With a really intense love for Harry Potter at the time, and I just discovered Twilight. So I decided to make the best fan fiction of a cross-world build between Twilight and Harry Potter. And since then, writing has just been one of my favorite getaways. And I've come up with multiple different characters since then. No more Bellas and no more Ron Weasleys in my stories. Personalities may be similar, but definitely not with those names. Yeah, and I really love writing. I've discovered, anyways, that I have a knack for writing horror and thrillers. Which I really was not expecting, just because I've always stuck to fantasy. I recently was working on a project with a production company here in Montreal called Cotton Bush Productions that was entirely female. And that was a fantastic experience, especially because it was my first contract out of school. So that was one of the most exciting things that has definitely graced me. during the year of 2020-2021, which will definitely go down in history as probably one of the worst years in the 21st century. I've discovered that I have a knack for thriller horrors, and I'm kind of really vibing with it, because what's better than something that really makes you feel like horror?
You know, I'm just so happy. I was also happy back at VFS that I finally met, you know, another Twilight fan. And you never sent me that sample because you wanted to send me, you know, the document you wrote, like the story.
So
did you ever find it?
That's the thing. I've kept you in mind since then, since that fateful moment that we both discovered that we liked Twilight or previously enjoyed Twilight or whatnot. But I've kept you in my mind and I've looked everywhere. And when I tell you everywhere, I've gone from basement to my room to just the papers have mysteriously disappeared and or they've been used as kindling during our very cold winters. I don't know what to tell you. Well, I can give you a gist of it. I mean, it's you yourself are... What was my character's name? Oh, yes, because I was also... Okay, so Lord of the Rings is the love of my life. And I was really obsessed with Legolas, the elf. And, I mean, his last name is Greenleaf. So my main character, her name was Phoenix Greenleaf, and she may or may not have been an elf. And her main love interest was a certain Edward Cullen, who was a Gryffindor. But also it's important to note that Cedric Diggory and Edward Cullen were not the same person, even though in my mind they were both played by Robert Pattinson when I was writing this story. It was truly a time to be alive back then. Let's, oh yeah, Twilight. I think Twilight was definitely, like, the initial, it had to, like, be one of those things that really just got people into reading and writing because it was so easily written, no offense to Stephenie Meyer, but it was, like, so simple as a story. And I mean, just everything in it was very easily deducible. Deductible is taxes. It was very deducible to know exactly what was going to happen. So honestly, it was, for me anyways, it was the thing that really got me into reading and writing. And I wish I can say I was embarrassed or that I should be shamed by that. But you know what? Twilight will forever be with me, one of those favorite things at the time. So I'm happy to say that Twilight is the reason why I write today.
I love that. It was great. It is great. What do you think about, or should I ask you, what do you think about Twilight? Well, I asked you, what do you think about Twilight, Savannah? Don't be mean, okay?
I never read it, and I only saw the first movie. So, like, I don't really have an opinion on it. Like, I thought the characters were, like, you know, attractive and stuff, but I never got into it. Like, I watched that Vampire Stuck movie that was, like, a parody. That was fun. But, like, I never really watched it. Well, I don't really have an opinion on it. I was too busy trying to be, like, the quirky, different girl in middle school that was like, I'm too cool for Twilight, which now I look back at myself and I'm like, you dumbass. Like, why couldn't you just be like everybody else, you loser? But I never read Twilight.
If you want, I could ship them over to you and you can read them.
They're literally at, like, every library I walk into now. Like, they're just there. So, like, it wouldn't be hard to get my hands on one.
You are correct as well.
And it's on Netflix now, the movies. So, I mean, if I ever feel like it, I perhaps will.
Yeah, that's interesting, though, that you never actually got around to being into Twilight if you were really into vampires.
Yeah, I used to think I was a vampire when I was, like, 12.
You're like that content creator. You're like that content creator on TikTok, Cal Mercus, I think she goes by. And she has this character, she's like 12-year-old me. I'm a vampire!
I never really survived the fourth movie, you know, the twist in the end at the climax. Like, I had a real kind of heart attack in the cinema, and I never really recovered, I think. Even today, I'm dying each time I see it, but yeah, there was an experience. A film did never shock me that hard again in my life.
No, I have to agree with you because I remember when I was in the theaters and we were watching that scene. I mean, I had read the book before, right? Breaking Dawn. So I knew what was going to happen in the end. And then just this entire war scene happens and I'm like, like, this is not supposed to happen. And then plot twist, as you do, right? In Hollywood, I guess. And I was just, I couldn't get over it. And it's been, I don't even know when the fifth film came out. 2014? No, before that.
Look it up.
2012!
Oh, wow. We are all really shocked, like, just silence. We are so fucking old.
Yeah, no, I don't think about that. It's like I was suggesting a book to a person who was much younger than me. They're like 20. And I was like, yeah, I read this book when I was in 2007. Because that's when I started high school in Canada, right? Like, high school starts around, like, 7th grade. Well, in Quebec it does anyways. And I had read this book constantly over and over again because in English class we had to bring our own books to read. So I read this book all the time, and it had actually become my favorite book. And I suggested it to this person who just recently turned 20, and they're like, 2007. How old are you? And I'm like, wow, no, no. You can't do this. No. How old are you? What? No. And he's like, I was 6 in 2007. And I'm like, no, you're not.
I still think I'm 16. And then I'll get really confused. Like, I'll see something and I'll be like, oh, you have to be 19 plus to enter. And I'll be like, damn it. Maybe I have to get a fake ID. And then I'll be like, bitch, 23. You don't just walk in.
That was a great start with Twilight. Best start ever. Katrina, was there anything more you wanted to say about yourself?
No, not really. I mean, I'm a great person. That's pretty much it.
Yes, you are. You're a really great person, really funny. You're really talented with horror and twine. You're really good at making games.
I think about
your feature film at VFS. Did you work on it more? Because I really love the characters. Like, is it like a second version, or did you just, you know, leave it?
I'm at version 1.5. The second draft has not yet been fully addressed. I have not exactly given it time of day because I have so many other ideas for different stories that I've been working on. So, not to say that I've put it on the back burner, but it's kind of like anything else that I've found to be true in the creative arts, or just anything to do with the industry in itself, is there are so many ideas that are constantly coming to you that sometimes it's even difficult to flesh one out entirely because you're already on to the next one. And it's really something that can truly be debilitating at times because you have so many ideas and you want to write all of them down, but when you actually get to trying to flesh one out, suddenly you're forgetting what your story was because you're already thinking of your sixth idea. So when I promise you, when version 2 will be done, I am sending it to you and you'll be able to read it. I promise.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, but something, you know, that's really true what you say, you know, with, you know, having a lot of ideas, and in the end, like, at some point I had so many ideas, but I was like, then I was tired of them. I was like, I don't think I want to write any of them. But, you know, my problem right now is I try to think smart for once in my life. No kidding. But, you know, at some point you want to do, like, low budget, you know, for ISA and stuff, you know, and for this kind of gigs, and you know, you want to look what they want right now. They want a lot of, you know, family and comedy, and on the opposite, horror. You know, that's mostly what I have seen in the last months, at least. And I'm like, okay, that's not my genre, but you know, then I thought, okay, should I do something comedy and, you know, low budget? But then on the other side, you know, many people say, you know, producers really want those big IPs, like, you know, Lord of the Rings, Hunger Games, and all the other stuff. And when you think about it, well, that's totally right, because they are the big movies. Of course, you can't really sell them easily, so your only chance would maybe be to send them to competitions, and you will kind of win. And then, you know, producers would read it and see, okay, that's a really cool, you know, IP, it's a lot of money, but, you know, this could be a success, and then, you know, they take it. So I'm really between, like, should I do, like, low budget comedy, or, you know, like, fantasy high budget for competitions? Like, and I think that's always really complicated, you know, because at some point you are not thinking only about, oh yeah, I want to write this story and this because it's fun, but you think about, you know, what story is best to write in order to sell, you know, the easiest. You know what I mean?
No, I completely agree with you. It's actually funny that you're bringing up competitions and festivals and stuff like that, because I mean, every so often I'll go and see, like, what competitions are mainly being applied to and what genres are mainly being seeked out. And recently, I think it was just last week, I was on Coverfly, as you do. And I saw that one of the main genres that was being, like, sought after was horror. And I don't know if maybe it's because, and I mean, listen, I'm going to be talking about the pandemic a lot, just because I think it genuinely really affected a lot of people, especially within the creative world, because now they've spent so much time on their own, in their own bubble, without having to interact with anyone, that they've kind of, and I guess I can say this pretty liberally, a lot of us have grown depressed. So I feel like a lot of the time, whenever we're writing something or we want to, like, tell a story, it always ends up being really a horror filled. It's a thriller because it gets us going, because it gets, like, the creative part of us to be excited again. And I remember when we had taken our horror class back at VFS, I mean, the one thing that, you know, Kelsey was talking about, Kelsey Kirvin, the professor, the teacher at the time, the instructor, he was so dedicated to telling us that the monsters or the ghosts or whatever the horror element was always had something that was very relatable for the audience member. And every time now that I'm finding myself watching horror films or reading horror or thrillers, the villain, quote unquote, the monster literally always just makes me feel. And I didn't realize it until at some point I was watching The Haunting of Bly Manor, which is, like, that second series of The Haunting of Hill House. And I found myself super, like, sad and really emotional when I was watching Bly Manor, because for me, the ghosts represented something that, you know, you lost. And it was just so sad. And, like, if anyone were to just watch The Haunting of Bly Manor, they would just be, like, scared, like, shitless, because the ghosts are genuinely scary whenever they pop up on your screen. But for someone who has now, like, who now has the understanding of what monsters and ghosts can represent, sitting there, I was literally just sobbing next to my friend, and she just kept on looking at me, and she was like, "Are you okay? Because, like, this is scary. Are you crying because you're scared? Or, like, what's going on?" And I'm like, "No, she lost her fiance, the one that she loved the most." And I was just, like, crying and so emotional, and looked at me like I had four eyes. I had, like, two mouths, five ears, and I'm like, "I'm sorry." And she's like, "I don't understand what's going on, but you do you." And I'm like, "Okay."
Like, I don't mind the psychological, like, not the psych, like, I don't mind the ones where, like, you know, it's just a guy running around with, like, a fucking machete or something. Like, yeah, I don't like the gore. That's one of the things that bugs me. Like, you know, I don't like watching people, you know, get their, like, face hacked off. But I don't like the paranormal shit. It really freaks me out. Like, I don't want to think about, you know, my house having some, like, ghost coming and, like, making me kill my family and shit. Like, I just don't like that. Like, it's not my jam. So, yeah, horror, like, I guess, yeah, like, thrillers, one thing, but horror, I don't like horror.
That's okay. I was actually, so in the meantime, between contracts and, like, just to have, like, a steadier income, I work at a bookstore. And I was asking, like, some of my colleagues, I was like, "What's your favorite genre?" And they would look at me and they would say stuff that, like, contemporary fiction, romance. And I'm like, "Cool, cool, cool." And they're like, "What's your favorite genre?" And I go, "Horror and fantasy." And then they look at me and they go, "That makes sense." And I'm like, "What do you mean that makes sense? Like, am I supposed to take this as an insult? Are you just saying that I have a very, like, you know, fantastic personality? Badumch." Or so it was always just really interesting, because a lot of people that I work with and a lot of people these days, they want to read to, like, get away from the reality of things, which, I mean, that is what reading as a hobby is, unless you read scientific journals, which, I mean, hey, if that's your thing, that's fine too. But I mean, I say that as though I'm judging, but realistically, I just started a book about the mosquito this morning. So never mind. But it's fun to know that the mosquito is actually the world's most predatory predator. It's fantastic. I would go get the book to read the fourth cover to you, but basically it's one of the things that really got me to pick up the book was on the back, it's stated that Starbucks has managed to make it where it is now to become, like, a multi-billionaire company and, like, you know, franchise, whatnot, because of the mosquito. So now I'm just really curious. So I want to get to that part of the book just to, like, understand how the mosquito has a play and how Starbucks is now the reigning coffee shop throughout the world.
Because they almost went out of business and then they just showed up. Like, it's like every, like, white girl on Instagram started posting about Starbucks, and then suddenly it's like the most popular coffee place, and you're like, nobody knew what the hell Starbucks really was until then, and now it's just, if you don't go to Starbucks, you suck, and it's just, it's weird.
So I read the fourth cover, and it said, that mosquitoes had a role in Starbucks's uprise. So I can't wait to get there, and once I get there, I'll let you guys know, because it's really something that, that's one way of grabbing someone's attention, right? And as somebody who's, us writing stories and screenplays and whatnot, it's important to be able to grab people's attention. So if ever you want to make a movie about a mosquito, don't forget to plop in that they have something to do with Starbucks' rise.
I know the truth. The mosquitoes, they own Starbucks. Mm-hmm. I know it. Yeah, they took control of the, of a human Starbucks owner, and then, then they just took over and saved everything, and just because then they had so many people in Starbucks that they could feed off, it was a win-win situation, so they did some mind-controlling thing, and now they own Starbucks, but nobody knows about it. And that's how you think about a really bad screenplay.
Christine and your mind control theories have yet to fail to entertain.
But we actually wanted to talk about something else in this podcast. It was actually like supposed to be about conflicts in scripts, because that's something we haven't talked about. And now I sound like any teacher you maybe ever have listened to, but conflict is the key of any story, because otherwise it's just boring. You need not too many conflicts, but just the perfect amount of conflicts, in relationships, in the plot. Otherwise you don't even have a plot if you don't have a conflict, because then the protagonist will just, walk to the goal, and then the movie is finished after 5 minutes. So, one really common thing is, of course, that the protagonist got the opposite goal of the antagonist, which made them to enemies. So through that, they have a conflict. So I guess that's how I start off the conversation. Do you guys have any other thoughts, about conflicts, or maybe how you use conflicts in your scripts, or if you have problems with that, or, if you have any other opinion?
My computer's frozen, so, if I cut out, that's what happened. But, you still hear me, though? Cool, okay. Thank you, Asus Vivo Book. I don't struggle with conflict mainly because I, like to write trashy comedy. And, conflict's easy to come by in that. And especially because of, I find my conflict most of the time in characters, and I just like to use the same kind of character, I guess it's tropes, where people really don't want to be around each other kind of thing. And I think that's why, I don't know if, Christine, you definitely had it, I don't know about Katrina, but that new Suicide Squad movie, I think they do conflict extremely well, and because there's just conflict fucking everywhere. It's between the characters, it's between the world, it's everywhere, and it's such a good movie. And that's if I could write a movie like Suicide Squad, I would be very proud of myself. That was not the 2016 one, no, okay, the 2021 one.
Yeah, no, I have to agree with you that, you say tropes as though it's a bad thing, but personally, especially because let's use cinema just in like film in general as like an example. A lot of the times the characters always seem to be the same, just with different backstories and different kind of personalities. But all of those conflicts that occur within the film are always going to be reoccurring and trope-like. And if I may use Hallmark films as an example, there's a recipe to it, and it's perfectly fine because that's still what people really enjoy watching, even though it's the same story told over and over again. I mean, it's like, you know, the girl from a small town goes out to live in New York, Seattle, to work and whatever. And then for the holiday, she goes home to spend time. And then, oh, look at that. Her high school boyfriend is there, and he's much macho and prettier than he was back then. And, you know, they broke up because she had to go live her life in the city. And then by the end of it, they're back together, and she gives up her city life to live back in her small town with her, like, boyfriend from high school. And it works. Like, you can't help it. Like, you watch it and you like it because it's happy. It makes you feel good. And, you know, the characters feel good because, you know, they finally found their true love again. And, you know, maybe like the mom's like cupcake business was going down, or, you know, like it's a recipe, but it works. And that's why conflict is so important. And I mean, it's difficult to have a story that doesn't have conflict because there's always going to be opposing views to the same coin. And especially if somebody has like a very twisted and like dark past, that stuff is always going to come up and chase you. Like, especially in action films. I mean, Die Hard, the best Christmas film ever. you know, not that his past comes to like follow him, but it's because of his past that he ends up being in Nakatomi Plaza. Like, that's why he's there, and that's why he ends up being in the situation that he's in. So I think conflict is really important. And I mean, like they taught us at VFS, right? Like, you have to put your main character through the worst turmoil that they will have ever gone through in their lives during that hour and a half, 90-page script that you're going to write, because that's how you get the audience to stay hooked. That's how you get the producers to really be into the story that you're writing. That's just how you're going to keep people attentive to what you're writing, because people are nosy. People like conflict, especially when it's not their own. So watching it in somebody else's life is generally like something that they will absolutely love and adore. And like, I haven't watched the newest Suicide Squad yet, so I'm really, really excited about that. But the fact that you just told me that there's lots of conflict within the characters, like their bonds, the story, just everything, I am very excited.
Well, and like, you know, conflict, my favorite type of conflict is, you know, just villains in general, and like, you know, when not so good people are having to do things. Because like, I don't know, when it's like the hero and like the good guys and stuff, again, like, you know, there's the tropes, but they almost become very overused tropes. Where what I like about Suicide Squad is like, yeah, it follows the, you know, the general action movie thing. Like, you know, there's like the all is lost, there's the climax, all that other shit, and then everything gets resolved. But all these characters are like bad guys that are having to work together, and that just the amount of conflict that causes from these people really just being these selfish assholes that just want to kill people, and now they're all having to, like, you know, be a squad, is that just that makes the entire movie, like, because you're like, you're here for the characters, you don't even really know what's happening in the background. it's a funny movie, like it's a pure comedy, even though there's a lot of like death and stuff, but like it's just such a great movie. I'm like recommending it to like fucking everybody lately, because it was just a hell of a time, because I just love watching the kind of, I guess, like anti-heroes is like the best word for that, but just, yeah, these people that aren't usually the good guys having to be the good guys. Megamind is a great example.
The best thing that's ever come out of any animation studio, no offense to any animation studio, just that really like say, like, it just started a movement. Megamind is where it's at. Also the soundtrack in that film, oh
god, great film. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10, would recommend. No, yeah, you do make a good point, where especially when they're all anti-heroes, because I know you loved the Joker, which I mean, I'm right there with you. That was a fantastic, beautiful film. But I think it's also more compelling to have a character that you initially kind of hate and see them grow, because then you can't help but feel... And maybe that's also part of the conflict. Like, you can't help but start feeling happy for the character when they start learning and growing. And I think maybe that's also part of the conflict, where it's not just the conflict that's like ongoing. Ooh, maybe that could be a different kind of conflict as well, where it's the audience's conflict with the characters and how what they're doing is not correct or ethically, morally. Like, I'm watching this, I would not do that, you're a horrible person. And then by the end, you're like, you know what? But it made sense as to why you did that. I understand because of your background, because of your history, your past. So that can always be an interesting conflict as well. Because watching The Joker, for instance, you know, when he just goes and point blank shoots the talk show host.
As he should, the guy was a dick.
But that's why, right? Like, had they opened the film with that scene, I don't think the audience members would have been like, oh man, the Joker, what a great guy. But because we saw his decline and like his slow psychotic mental breakdown, the fact that he just like point blank shot the talk show host, everyone is like, yeah, well, he deserved it. And you can't help but kind of have you can't help but have like a sort of like moments peace with yourself where you're like, wait, did I just condone someone to like kill someone because he deserved, like, did I just do that? And like, that's a cool conflict as well, where the conflict just comes out of the film and then settles into the audience member, which is probably why I love horror and thrillers.
Well, like, speaking on that kind of audience conflict thing that we just brought, because like, yeah, with the Joker is you're like, oh, like, maybe I'm not, like, you're like, okay, I can see why you did that, but there's like a whole nother level with it with the Joker is you're like, you know, if I was in that situation, you're almost like, well, I'd do the same thing. Like, especially when those dudes on the bus are like beating the shit out of him and everything, you're kind of like, buddy, you go nuts. Like, those people deserved it. And that's kind of at the end of the Joker movie is like, yeah, like you were saying, is you're like, he killed people and he did some bad shit, but homie lived a horrible life and everyone walked all over him and he killed people who deserved it. And you were like, you know what? I understand. And now you're kind of like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be siding with him. But like, you know, it's not like he went up and just like shot some random kid or something. Like, he shot these people, he killed these people that were bullying him. Like that one scene where, like, and it just, you know, at the end, he's still a good guy, which is what I think makes it even better, is that he's still has morals about him, like in that scene where they're in the apartment and that guy who got him fired and planted the gun on him and stuff comes over and he beats the shit out of him and just murders him. But that, like, the little guy, you know, he lets him go and he's like, thanks, Gary. And Gary just like runs away, but he's like, Gary didn't do anything to me, so Gary can go ahead. But like, the other guy fucking deserved it. And that's what I like, is like, you know, he didn't, just because Gary was there, he didn't kill Gary too, because he's like, Gary, you're a good guy. And I, you know, that's what's good about it. And I just love that movie. And I hope that they make another one.
Yeah, no, I'm completely there with you. That was, I like the fact that you're like, you see, he still has morals. He let Gary go.
And I relate to him, like, when he's in the bathroom dyeing his hair with, like, shitty manic panic and it's running all over the place. I was like, I've been there, buddy. I know what you're going through.
You and me, we friends. It's okay. But yeah, no, conflict definitely does have a strong element, I find, in stories, and it's important to have because, like you guys said, like, you know, starting out this, just, you can't have a good story without conflict. Like, you can say whatever you want, but genuinely try to write me a story with no conflict and it be entertaining.
Many people think, you know, as long as the main character got an inner conflict, like a personal conflict, you need no antagonist because the protagonist is the antagonist. But that's not, yes, I mean, he's kind of an antagonistic force for himself, but you still need an antagonist because you need kind of the inner conflict and you need the outer conflicts. And depending on, you know, the budget maybe, and, you know, what kind of story you are doing, you should have an antagonist, and then, you know, you should have a even, you know, bigger antagonistic force. Like, in many, especially, I think, action movies, it could easily be, you know, the government. You know, like, you have your inner conflict of a protagonist, you have, you know, the outer conflict, you know, in his personal life, or, you know, like, the antagonist, and then you have a big, big, big conflict, like, with the government and stuff. I think that's just something I wanted to point out, that, you know, just to have an inner conflict of a main character doesn't make the main character the antagonist. You still need another antagonist. What do you think about that? Am I crazy, or is that right?
No. You definitely have a point. What did you want to say, Savannah?
I was just agreeing with her. You can go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there was this this fan fiction I wrote a couple of years ago. It's always about the fan fictions. Fanfics, good old fanfics. It was based off of a series of books. It's a saga called Hush Hush by Becca Fitzpatrick. And for the longest time, it was one of my favorite books. It still is, like, in my top 10. But the characters were really interesting. For some reason, the main character just didn't really speak to me, so I decided to create my own, and that's how the fanfic was born. But my main character, her name was Sky, and she had these powers that she didn't know the origin from. And Hush Hush is basically a retelling of... If you read the fourth cover of the first book, it literally sounds copy-paste what Twilight was. Girl meets boy in science class. Boy seems to be real obsessed with girl. Girl doesn't know why. But also back then, much like when dystopian novels came out, suddenly it was always like the chosen girl, you know, Hunger Games, Divergent. But yeah, so Hush Hush, it's instead of it being vampires, it's actually about angels and demons. So the guy that she meets in her class actually ends up being a fallen angel. His name is Patch. Great guy. 10 on 10 would recommend dating him. In my story, Sky is actually his sister, and her mom is a demon. Except because she's being taught that, you know, she's part angel, part demon, she's like a version of a Nephilim, which is like the children of angels and humans. She has this extreme, extraordinary power that she can use for good or evil. But because she doesn't even want these powers, she has that internal conflict where she knows that her powers also originate from evil because her mom's a demon. And her mom's not just some, like, low-tier demon. She's, like, one of the 7 or 9 demons of hell that kind of, like, you know, one of the 9 circles of hell in Dante's Inferno. Or I put a lot of research into this. I remember spending hours on Wikipedia going through all of the possible demons that I can use, all these possible, like, evil spirits. And I put way too much research into it for a fanfic, but you know what? It's okay. It was my creativeness. That's what was necessary. But, you know, I had entire chapters just dedicated to complete internal monologue where she was questioning whether or not her existence was for the good or for the evil of the matter. And most of the feedback that I got from people was, you know, like, Sky is such a cool character. Like, I can relate to her so much, including, like, what she's going through. Like, you have to continue writing this. And I had a plan for the story where, in a very self-sacrificing manner, she would use her power to eradicate all kinds of, like, openings for celestial beings to, like, come to Earth. So, like, you could just clearly have, like, heaven up there, hell down there, and Earth in the middle, and no one would be able to come between the worlds. And in a very self-sacrificing manner, she would, like, nuclear bomb herself with all her power. No, like, I had this, like, idea, and I think I was, like, chapter 13, 14, and I had, like, a plan for, like, 18 chapters. And somebody in the comments goes, I swear, if you kill Sky, I will literally report you to fanfiction.net.
That was mine too. Fanfiction.net.
I just sat there staring at this comment and I'm like, I think I've made it, but also now I can't continue the story because you know what's gonna happen. So I guess I'm not gonna finish it.
That's so aggressive though. What the fuck?
But like, it also kind of made me really happy because I was like, wow, people are so invested in what I'm writing. And that genuinely made me feel really good, especially because like I had never gotten that kind of feedback from anyone because I was also the kind of, I mean, I'm sure you guys are very familiar with the, I write, but I don't share my writing with anyone. It's my own personal thing until I actually have to. And then suddenly my heart feels like it's about to come out of my mouth because I'm so nauseous and nervous. They're going to think that my writing is horrible. And then it's just like this constant spiraling down. So the fact that I had never shared my writing with anyone, and then this was like the feedback I was getting, I was very excited by that, which is what kept me going, especially because it was under a pseudonym. So nobody knows what story it is, but that's okay. No, you won't. Trust me, you can't find it. Fanfiction has way too many stories on it.
I'll find it. I'm an expert at fanfiction.net. I will find it.
Trust me, you will not be able to find it. My pseudonym on fanfiction is nothing that you'll be able to guess.
Is it a fugly truth?
No.
I feel like I've been challenged.
Enjoy. Try your best.
I will. I'll find it.
Although I'm sure there is a way for you to be able to do that.
Well, there totally is. I'm doing it right now.
Okay, that was a really great episode. There was great discussions here about Twilight and so many other movies. So everybody should remember the importance of conflict and just put some conflict in your script right now. Katrina, do you want to say anything to the listeners about whatever? Any tips or anything we talked about? Like, do you want to have some last words to the listeners?
Yeah, actually, whoever's listening to this, who it's going to be the feedback that I'm going to give to absolutely everyone who tells me that they wish that they could write, that they wish they could be as, like, you know, creative as me or as anyone they know who writes. Just do it. You literally have nothing to lose. You have a voice. You have a pen and paper, computer, Word document, whatever you wish to use. You hopefully know how to write and read. And just do it. There is nothing stopping you other than yourself. And I think that that's what's important. You all have a story to tell. And I think that every single story is worth telling. So just go and do it.